As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralysed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All the people who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was doing good and helped the poor. But about that time she became ill and died. Her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he had arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood round him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothes that Tabitha had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and he got down on his knees and prayed. Turned towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he said to the believers, and presented her to them alive. Then this became known as all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning. At the end of the last century, about the time my family and I returned to the UK after living for 9 years in the Philippines, we noticed that a new term had come into the vocabulary of some of our contemporaries. And this was the term postmodernism. What is that, you may ask? Well, technically, you could sum it up as suspicion of any big story. So, for example, people had become disillusioned with the story of communism that attempted to take over and dominate the life of people with an ideology about the evils of capitalism and the supremacy of the working class. Communism was a big story. Now, this kind of skepticism extended to the narratives of the Bible. People were suspicious of a big story of a living God who created the world, sent his Son in order to save the world. They actually preferred to focus on local stories, instead highlighting the contribution of people who made a difference locally. Now, you will never find that the Bible has missed out any possible development in people's thinking in the whole of the world. Why? Because when we looked at the Bible, we understood that once again, God had gone ahead of us, because the Bible contains a big story, what you would call the meta-narrative if you wanted to be technical, as well as local stories. And the best example of that is the book of Judges in the Bible, where you get the big story about what happened, the disaster that the judges were. We have their story, that is the big picture, and then you get the story of Ruth, the local story in the time of the judges. Well, why am I telling you all this? Well, here in the book of Acts, we have a local story embedded in the larger story of the expansion of the church. Look at verse 31 of chapter 9, just before our passage. "Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord." That is the big story, the expansion of the church. We've just had the crucial conversion of the Apostle Paul, which Paul Tanner mentioned and preached about last week. That is going to be a big story. The Apostle Paul, big story. But now, what do? We focus on two local events in the ministry of the Apostle Peter. And the division of our text is quite simple. It is two places, Lydda and Joppa. And this text brings us back to the reality of the local and continuing ministry of the Apostle Peter. Now, Peter has dropped out of the story since chapter 6, and the focus has moved on to the appointment of deacons, Stephen's martyrdom in chapter 7 and 8, and the ministry of Philip before we get to the Apostle Paul. All the time, the big story is that the church is growing. And all of these incidents contribute to this growth as believers go about their normal business, as believers are in the church. I call this message the ordinary people. As believers do what believers do in the context which God has placed them, what happens? Well, the church grows. You will remember what Jesus said at the beginning of the book of Acts. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That is the big story. But here in Lydda, we are dealing with Jewish Christians who illustrate the fact that the gospel has now traveled to all Judea. What Jesus said has been fulfilled. This is the outer limit of Judaism, and the gospel has reached it, as we were told it would. We have no record of how these people were evangelized. And that reminds us of an important point that we need to bear in mind this morning, and that is this. God is working all over the place, and he does not have to tell us what he's doing. Do you know the results of the good deeds that you do, or the witness that you have made as a believer over the years? I can remember being in Santos in Brazil with the OM ship, the Doulos, many years ago. The port area was so threatening that we had to go out 4x4 rather than 2x2. One weekend we distributed tracts, and the next day when we went out, we saw many of them strewn all over the harbour, seemingly ignored. Tract distribution, no result. What a waste of time. What a waste of money. 19 years later, I am reading a book by an OM member from Canada who relates a story of how while the ship was in Santos, a man picked up a tract, read it, the Holy Spirit worked in his life, and he was converted. And from such a beginning, this man planted a new church. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Lydda is 10 miles inland in an area known as Sharon, which is on the coastal plain moving up towards Caesarea. What's Peter doing? Well, basically, verse 32, he's doing follow-up. He's visiting the believers. Aeneas is one of them, and he is paralyzed and has been for 8 years. And Peter, who has a record of being involved in healings, is very direct with him. He tells him to get up, take up his mat, and that is exactly what happened. And then Peter is very clear when he says in verse 34, Jesus Christ heals you, get up and take your mat. It is Jesus Christ who has healed Aeneas. And what is the result? Verse 35, all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. The church grows. The whole area responds to the gospel, and they turn to the Lord Jesus. Now note this, they turn to the Lord Jesus, not to Peter. And this incident reminds us that there is no small errand in the kingdom of God. God's power is working in Peter as he preaches the gospel, and he helps people that he comes across, in this case, someone who was paralyzed. He encourages and builds up the people of God. And Luke describes the church in verse 32 as God's people when it says, as Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. That is the word that the New Testament uses for you as a believer. You are a saint. I heard on the radio this morning that in Poland they're going to beatify someone who was involved in liberating Jews during the Second World War, and beatification is on the way to being a saint. What sort of rubbish? Believers are saints. That's what the Bible declares quite clearly. You cannot be beatified and made a saint 60 or 70 years later. It's nonsense. Saints are the people of God. They're you and me. And that's how the Bible describes us. Why was Aeneas healed and not other disabled people? Others in the way, as the early Christian movement was called, the way, had died, and they needed healing. Can you answer that? Why do some people get called to a new work of God by the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit? Others by an angelic message? Others just by consulting the elders in the church or a messenger coming from a local town? There's many different ways in which God works. And one thing we can be certain of is that God keeps us guessing, because we live by faith, not by sight. What we do notice is that Peter has performed a miracle that Jesus himself did in Luke 5:17 to 26. Jesus had told a man to get up and to walk. Here's a picture of contemporary Joppa. Peter arrives in Joppa, and here he comes across a disciple named Tabitha, who in the local language was known as Dorcas. Verse 36. Who is Dorcas? Well, she is a typical believer. The unsung heroine who has got on with menial tasks for the kingdom of God. And note verse 36, she did good deeds and made sure that the poor were not neglected. Now, we've just seen a thank you letter from the church in Venezuela. Did you notice what they were doing? One of the things was food bags for the poor. This is what believers do. It's the normal Christian life. You will find it all over the Christian world. The Christians' concern for the poor and underprivileged in their community is something that goes right across the board of Christian commitment and is often ignored by those who matter. But they do it. In my ministry with OMF and European Christian Mission, I've often noticed this aspect of the kingdom. Everywhere you go, there are believers, thousands of believers, like Dorcas. People like her are the salt of the earth, and I can assure you that they are the backbone of the local church. This is the heart of the church. While the apostles and the evangelists go about making important decisions, or getting locked up, or being stoned, or being shipwrecked, or preaching in many different situations, the reality is that you and me will know more Dorcas-like people than we will know people like the Apostle Paul, because they're all around us, and they're sitting in this room right now. It is the backbone of the local church. But she died. She got sick and died. Her body is laid out in the upper room. And news of Peter's ministry in Lydda had traveled on the grapevine, and Peter is summoned. Quick, can you help us, Peter? Come to Joppa. Peter travels back with these two other people. He immediately goes into the upper room where there were the normal cultural forms of grief on display. They are crying. And in verse 39, it says, they are showing him the products of her labor. Peter immediately assesses the situation and he realizes that he needs to take some kind of control. He empties the room, gets down on his knees and prays, and then he turns toward Tabitha and commands her to get up. She wakes up, sits up, and Peter helps her onto her feet before calling others into the room and shows that she is alive. Again, the news spreads rapidly around Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. As we know from the end of this passage, Peter stayed on in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. Not that tanner, there's another tanner. He stays on in the area, and he's right there in Joppa when Cornelius, which is the subject of next week's message, or the week after rather, when the Roman centurion needs help. Simon the tanner lives by the sea, and often tanners, they were not the most respectable of people in the eyes of locals, especially in the eyes of Jews. Some people would have been suspicious of staying at the house of Simon the tanner because he worked with leather, and they would have thought he might have been unclean. He might have defiled, they might have thought, if I go and stay with Simon the tanner, I will richly defile myself. Often people like Simon, like Peter, often people like Simon were scorned, but they were not inherently unclean. Now, importantly, Peter is not bothered about all this thought about Simon the tanner going around him, because he is learning something that we will see clearly in Acts chapter 10, that God has an open heart to every kind of person. And what follows from this, as I said, we've got to the outer limits of Judea, the gospel going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Now, in chapter 10, as we will see, it is the beginning of the Gentile mission, when the gospel goes into the whole world, spreads around, of which you and I are beneficiaries. And when you look at these two healings, we notice that there's very little controversy over them, unlike the one in Acts chapter 3, when Peter healed someone in the temple. Now we have the gospel on the move, and part of this is that healings are signs of hope that bring people to faith. But, as with many other elements in the Bible, there is a mysterious element. Why was Dorcas raised from the dead, but not all the others who had died in the church in Joppa? What we do notice, once again, is that Peter is doing what Jesus has already done in Luke 8, 40 to 56. Peter is repeating what Jesus has done. And it shows the charismatic power of the apostles as they do the mighty works of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say in John's gospel, "You will do greater works"? These are some of the greater works being done by the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul performs similar mighty works later on in the book of Acts. What is the effect of all this? It increases faith. It grows the church. And notice something else about this event in Joppa. One of the reasons that we had the choice of the deacons in Acts chapter 6 was that the local church should make sure that the disadvantaged were taken care of. And one group that is often mentioned in the Bible is that of the widows. Here we find them mentioned in verse 39 and verse 41. And there is something poignant about this grieving group. They are recognized and acknowledged as having a claim on the natural resources of the church, and they are those who make a significant contribution to the life of the church, which reminds us that my title is wrong. There are no ordinary people in the kingdom of God. These miracles confirm that Peter and the apostles are genuine representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is the visible presence that the time of salvation has come. And notice that people turn to Jesus, not to Peter. And notice too that the reference in verse 40, Peter went and he knelt in the room, shows Peter's submission to God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter clears the room of all present. While if you look at some of the channels that claim to purvey the Christian faith today on television, the contemporary healers perform their works in the face of the world. They don't clear the room, and they don't do it in secret. And the consistent focus on Jesus is the link between miracles and conversions. You see, you will know probably from your experience that miracles do not necessarily lead to conversions and church growth, but also lack of miracles does not prevent or hinder conversions or church growth. Why? Because whether you have a miracle or not, or you have ordinary evangelism or whatever ministry you are doing, it is all caused by one person, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something wonderful about stories like these because they illustrate a very important aspect of the ministry of the church, and that was brought out strongly, I thought, by Paul last week. That is, the effect of God's intervention in the history of his people corresponds to and fulfills Old Testament promises. It fulfills the prediction and the prophecy of the spreading of church communities. The proclamation of the gospel is the main reason for the growth, which is backed up by good deeds, by signs and wonders. And then you remember, what did Jesus say at the end of Matthew's gospel? He said this, "Go and make disciples of all nations, and I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And the reality is that believers are in partnership with the Lord, and we have a few examples of that in the New Testament for your encouragement. There are many examples in the New Testament. We saw it with the Apostle Paul's conversion last week. But I think this is something that we, in our ordinary conversation as Christians, we just assume this. We assume the Lord is with us, and that is exactly right. You know, you talk to other believers about what they're doing, and the Lord did this, or whether God helped me, and I pray. You know, it's just part of our DNA. The Lord is with us. The Lord is with you if you're a believer. And so you got the fact that Jesus is with his disciples. And he says to Paul in Corinth, "For I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." That was often the case when Paul faced opposition. He had escaped from a fatwa issued against him in Jerusalem, and he needed assurance that God is with him, and God was with him in that very difficult situation. Or the following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage, as you have testified me about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome, because I'm going to be with you on your journey into the situation in Rome." Last week, we had Jesus appearing to Ananias in Acts 9:10, and Ananias sort of says to him, "Well, you don't really know too much about this guy, the Apostle Paul. You're not really well informed." God tells him what's going to happen, and the key fact is that God is within that whole dialogue between Ananias as he is convinced that he needs to go and minister to the Apostle Paul despite all of the different rumors and realities that there were about the Apostle Paul. Just over the page, Acts 11:21, "The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people..." All over the scriptures you have it. God is with his people. And I'd just like to leave you with this verse at the end. "What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth." Okay? So whether it's miracles or whatever it happens to be, God is causing the growth. "So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building." God has given the foundation for growth, and we build on that foundation, and we can be certain that Jesus is with us. Amen.